You recognize those words? They have just a familiar ring to them, don't they? Like you've heard that before somewhere. Where is it that that phrase occurs? Danger and death in delay. George Frederick Root was born in 1820 and lived until 1895. He was a prolific musician and songwriter. The only song, though, that he wrote that I'm aware of that we sing is the song that has that phrase in it. It's a song entitled, "Why Do You Wait?" It is purely and absolutely what we call an invitation song. Because all four verses drive home the point that obeying God is something that we should not wait for. Listen to these words. "Why do you wait, dear brother? Why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified throng." Now, there's a point there in that verse that I really hadn't thought much about until I began to consider using this song for our discussion. And that is in the second bar there, "Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in His sanctified throne." As long as we wait to obey God, Jesus is waiting with some of the greatest blessings and privileges that a person could ever receive. But they're on hold. They're on hold until one finally decides to obey the gospel. Or if one has become unfaithful and is lingering about the business of getting things back right. There are blessings, there are wonderful things that are on hold. You cannot have them until you come back. The second verse, "What do you hope, dear brother, to gain by further delay? There's no one to save you but Jesus. There's no other way but His way." What would you be hoping for if you're delaying obeying the gospel? Are you hoping there's going to come along a different way or a different Savior or some other method of obtaining salvation? It's not going to happen. And the song drives that point home. What do you hope, dear brother, to gain by further delay? The third verse says, "Do you not feel, dear brother, His Spirit now striving within? Oh, why not accept His salvation and throw off thy burden of sin?" There is, of course, a struggle that goes on in the heart of an individual who knows what the truth is. It is a struggle between right and wrong, but of course, entirely under the control of the person who owns the heart. It's a battle, it's a fight between the influence for good and the influence for waiting and delaying. Then the fourth verse, this is the one we're looking for. "Why do you wait, dear brother? The harvest is passing away. Your Savior is longing to bless you. There's danger and death in delay." You know, some folks, I believe, are professional procrastinators. just so good at putting things off and delaying and hesitating and dragging around, as we say. We studied about some of those folks this morning, just kind of in passing, and I'd like to go back to Matthew chapter 25 tonight and observe two or three things that I think I've got figured out about those five foolish virgins. Now I realize most all of us have heard this Bible story for a long, long time, but let's just go ahead and read it again. It's not very long. We begin at Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent or wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out and meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent," or the wise, "answered, 'No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came and said, 'Lord, Lord, open up to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you.'" Jesus then concludes this story by saying, "Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour." Obviously, and as we studied this morning, this is a story of contrast. It draws a contrast between the 5 wise virgins and the 5 foolish virgins. The difference between them was the wise ones carried along with their lamps an extra flask of fuel so that if this lasted for a long time, they would be able to keep their lamps lighted. You thought I was going to say lit, didn't you? Been practicing that. The foolish, though, didn't bring extra fuel for their lamps. And so when the bridegroom tarried for a long time or delayed in coming to the wedding feast, they all trimmed their lamps, but the foolish didn't have sufficient fuel to keep their lamps going. And obviously, as we read, they asked the wise, those who were prepared, "Share your oil with us so we'll have enough too." "Oh, but if we give you some of our oil, then we won't have enough. You need to go buy some for yourself." Now, the point of the parable is not whether or not the 5 wise virgins should have been a little bit more generously minded to share what they had with those who were in need. That's not the point at all. In fact, I think if we tried to focus on that, we'd be going in the wrong direction, because it's not what the Lord wants us to see here in this parable. It is purely a lesson, an illustration on the danger of not preparing. The 5 foolish virgins did not make proper preparation. They put off doing what needed to be done. They did not prepare for what was coming. Why did they put off making the necessary preparations? I think I've got it figured out. And I want to share my ideas with you. Number one, I would suggest that perhaps they thought that they had more time. Perhaps they thought they had more time. Let me remind you that these five foolish virgins were not criminals. They were not murderers or rapists or child abusers or anything like that. They were basically good folks. They just didn't make the preparations that they needed to in time to have what they needed on this occasion. You know, this matter of a wedding, even today, and our weddings and wedding ceremonies and receptions and things like that, they're totally different from the way they were back when the Lord spoke these words. But a Jewish wedding was something that was pretty complicated. There was a lot involved. And I'm sure that these virgins were friends of the bride, close friends of the bride. Surely that speaks well of them. They had been invited to come to the wedding feast. And, you know, with all of the things that needed to be done as everything kind of got closer and closer, and all of the ceremony and the celebration that was involved, I can understand how somebody could get caught up in so many things that needed to be done and fail to prepare for everything. Kind of like we are today. You know, we've got so many things. We're so busy with our lives. And you know, especially if you've got kids, and if you've got 25, like some of these folks around here do, you can't see daylight. I mean, there's just no end to it, is there, Derek? That's right, no end to it. And then those of us who don't have a bunch of kids at home have got grandkids, you know, to pay attention to, and our jobs and our hobbies and you know, this all of this stuff that we've accumulated all of our lives that we've got to take care of and handle and so forth. And so, you know, there's not a one of us who just doesn't have a schedule that's just cram-packed full of things to do. Let me tell you something, though. James chapter 4 and verse 17 does not offer even the first glimmer of an excuse for an overpacked schedule. Not the first hint of an excuse due to an overloaded schedule. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know, there are times when I'd kind of like to rewrite that. And I don't mean that to sound irreverent or sacrilegious. But, you know, have you ever thought about the fact that you wish that verse said, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good, as long as he's got time to get around to it and still doesn't do it, to him it is sin. You know, that'd change the whole looks of that thing, wouldn't it? But that's not what it says. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so, you know, whether we're talking about delaying in obeying the gospel or delaying in being restored to faithful service to God, or whether we're talking about delay in just getting involved in doing the Lord's work in the local congregation in a personal way, if we think there's plenty of time, we're sadly mistaken. Number two, I would like to suggest as well that maybe these five foolish virgins thought that their preparations were not really all that important. Maybe they thought that the preparations that they were supposed to be making were a bit of overkill, you know. hyped up. You know, this list was written by somebody, and you know, obviously they were not very realistic when they made this list. You've been in that situation before, haven't you? You've had to jump through some hoops where you look back on it, you say, and I didn't know, I didn't need to do that. I knew I didn't need to do that. But, you know, it was required. And so there are things that we come up against sometimes and we say, I know they say I got to do this, but it's kind of like skipping the instructions when you're putting together a bicycle or something, you know? I mean, you can't read Chinese anyway. And then you get down there to the part to where something doesn't really work and you have to go back through and take everything back apart and reread it. But there are some real situations where we go through some things that really, I remember several years ago, I had to go down to somewhere in Florida over on the East Coast and had to go through some training. Construction related, it was fusing high density polyethylene stuff. Anyway, I had to go down there and they gave me a list of things that I had to do insofar as my preparations. I had to wear steel-toed boots. I had to wear an orange reflective safety vest. I had to wear safety glasses. I had to bring a hard hat. And then when I got there, they handed me a release that I had to sign. And the release basically said, in a whole lot more words than were necessary, that if during the course of this training that I got bitten by a poisonous snake or if I was attacked by an alligator, I would not hold these people, I'm telling you the truth, I would not hold these people responsible. And once I signed off on that and had my hard hat and safety glasses and reflective vest and steel-toed shoes, then they took me into a very nice, enclosed, concrete-floored warehouse and sat me down in a metal folding chair and proceeded to train me for 4 hours, and that was it. I mean, I never even saw the first poisonous snake. I was a little disappointed that I didn't see an alligator come walking through. Anyway, you understand my point. You know, there was a lot that they had covered there in their documents, and that's the way it is these days. You know, you got to have all your bases covered. You got to do all these things. You know, that reflective vest, that was real important. Maybe that was the deal with these five foolish virgins. Maybe they said, oh, that extra oil stuff, that's just a bunch of overkill. We don't need that. Well, I think there are some folks today who take sort of the same kind of approach to various aspects of serving God. In fact, you can look around right now and you can see that obviously there are some of our brethren here in this particular congregation who've got the idea that attendance on Sunday evening to worship services is a little bit of overkill. And Wednesday night, the same thing. And even Sunday school classes on Sunday morning. Obviously, some don't believe that that's really something that needs to be done. That's preparation that's just kind of not important. And I understand you're here tonight. And you'll be here Wednesday night. And you'll be here Sunday morning for Sunday school. And so we understand when you start shoving aside things of God and saying, this is not all that important. This is something I can do without. It gets easier and easier and easier to not prepare. Number three. Maybe it was that they believed that their shortcoming would be overlooked. I've been in those situations too. Just hope for the best and plunge ahead. You know, that works sometimes. Sometimes it works. In writing term papers. Sometimes it works in taking certain kinds of tests. But it doesn't work in serving God. They appear to be a little bit like some of those folks I read about today who are experts at entry with no ticket. You know what I'm talking about? I read an article just a day or so ago about a lady who has earned for herself the nickname Serial Stowaway. Because she has both successfully and unsuccessfully attempted to sneak on to international airlines. In fact, the last time she got caught was in January, and she was able to slip on to an airliner in Chicago and flew all the way to London. Problem is, they figured her out on the way, and they were waiting for her there in London, and she got a return trip ticket, except she didn't get to go where she wanted to when she got off the airplane back in Chicago. I remember a few years ago, there was a lot of talk about the professional gate crashers, people who would go uninvited to some of these high society parties, and because they just kind of blended in with the crowd and worked their way in as others were going in, they were able to slip in without having an invitation, and they were able to hobnob and rub shoulders with the celebrities and so forth. Maybe that's what these virgins had in mind. Maybe they thought they would be able to slip in undetected. I'm convinced that there are some folks who believe that about going to heaven. I'm actually convinced that some folks think that they're going to be able to slip in with the crowd and not have to go through all of that preparation that we've talked about today in doing the things that need to be done. You know, there's a case about this in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 11, Jesus is telling this, and he talks about the dinner that the guests were invited to. In verse 11, he says, "But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man there who was not dressed in wedding clothes. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?' And the man was speechless. Then the king said to the servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Great gate crashing won't work when it comes time to go to heaven. Are you a procrastinator? Are you getting good at putting things off? Do you have the idea that some of these preparations that we talk about are not really all that necessary? Or maybe you've got the idea that you can slip in without having to do it. Let me offer one final observation. That is the fact that no one can make our preparations for us in our place. The wise virgins couldn't bring enough lamp oil for everybody. And there is no one who's going to be able to obey God in your place or my place. It's an individual matter. let's be prepared. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing this song.